Are you ready?
Massacre.
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 Don't you love it?
Oh yeah, to say the least, Massacre Radio is back in the mix like active yeast. That's right. I, of course, am your host, Members Only Dave, on this, it's the 34th episode. Yes, I wanted to make sure I got that right. Episode 34, and wouldn't you know it, my guest today, you know him from his appearance on our Thanksgiving special. That's right, I'm joined by none other than Steve Catani from the website evilangel.com. We're going to talk some shop, see what's new in his world. There's always something going on, you know? So a little bit later on, I'll be joined by him. So buckle up, strap in, and get holstered, and bask in the glorious ambiance of Massacre Radio. Come on!
You're listening to Massacre Radio.
Be honest and tell us how you really feel about Massacre Radio.
I fucking love it.
Massacre Radio on WKMA Cleveland, an HD2 station. Well, how about this? Joining me now on the Massacre Radio Hotline, which you too can call at 440-941-8585. Well, 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 it's an all-too-familiar face from evilangel.com. Yeah, that's right, I'm talking about none other than Steve Catani. Steve, welcome back, and thanks again for your time. How are we doing today?
Great. You got it, man.
Okay, Steve, so I have to ask, since you were on the show back in November, and I heard you had played the episode, or at the very least showed it to some folks over there in the Evil Angel offices, what was the reaction to the program when you played it for them? What sort of reception did it get?
I didn't really play it for anyone specifically. I just made everyone aware that I had appeared, so to speak, on this. And there was some support, but it was met with general indifference, actually.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, so for the new listeners maybe who didn't hear the first time we had you on, just briefly summarize again, what it is you do over there at evilangel.com, Steve.
Yeah, I'm an everyday office employee here. I'm involved in like the tech process, which has a few layers to it. I'm just looking at all the content that comes through our doors from our directors, you know, filtering out things that might be a problem for anything from just your typical audio and picture image issues or content issues. There's a girl that works with me. She does the same thing. She's offsite, but you know, a young veteran at like 5 or 6 years here. We just kind of filter out material either a technical nature or a compliance nature that could be problematic. I also do some, it's not really creative writing, but I do some writing for our web partners, our cable partners. I do some scene summaries, search engine optimizing writing, that sort of thing to promote.
So let's get into this, because last time we had you on, Steve, you had a great quote about how Sheena Shaw and how she was the Willie Mays of porn. Okay, so in March of 2024, right now, who are some of the other rising stars, so to speak, for people to either check out or keep an eye on as the year progresses? Are there any names or faces that come to mind?
There's a whole bunch of names. They're not really, I mean, Sheena Shaw would be specifically an Evil Angel girl. She's definitely somebody that's an everyday, to keep going with the Willie Mays thing. She's on the roster every day. She's our cleanup hitter. But there's girls in the business right now. There's a wealth of fresh faces in the business that are extremely appealing, and some of them work with our directors. But, I mean, Sheena comes to mind as a megastar. We've had other girls like Adriana Chechik and Angela White that are superstars in the industry, and they've definitely built a large part of their success on their work with Evil Angel. Riley Reed's another one that comes to mind. Those girls have all, you know, done a fair amount of branding on their own and have gone in other directions, but they were, you know, they were a huge part of the nucleus of the Evil Angel girls of like the last 10 years. There's others too that I'm going to kick myself for forgetting, but there's probably 2 or 3 dozen over the last 10, 12 years that come to mind. Angela being probably the very pinnacle of the Evil Angel girl.
Okay, so I know it's not necessarily what you do, Steve, with Evil Angel, but you mentioned, quote, an Evil Angel girl. So I want to know, what are some of the criteria Evil Angel looks for in acquiring talent and getting these girls on the roster in these films? What is that process like, and what are the things you look for?
Well, it changes. You know, our directors are given free rein to, you know, they develop their lines and they're given free rein to cast their movies how they see fit. Of course, there's an Evil Angel aesthetic. You know, it's one of the harder companies than most. It always has been. And of course, the focus has been not exclusively, but, you know, largely on the female derriere. And so raw, aggressive, high energy. But at this point, the company has changed somewhat, chameleon-like, to fit other styles, other genres, shall we say. So we've got a lot of, you know, big tit movies, blowjob movies. The trans stuff has been an enormous part of our company's success. The transsexual porn is some of our directors have a long career as successful directors in those genres.
So I was looking around the evilangel.com website, Steve, just to see what's new, and I did see a number of trans videos, like you had mentioned. Those were up there, but there was one video that caught my interest called Wet Food 10. I mean, this poor woman has so much cum on her face, her eyelashes are falling off, and it looks like it checks all the boxes, so to speak. You know, it's in your face, it's extreme. What can you tell the good folks listening at home about Wet Food 10?
The guy that's, I think, we have an enormous roster of really talented directors, really tenured directors like Joey Silvera that goes back, you know, decades at this company. But I think the guy that is the top director at Evil Angel for the last 20 years, I guess he's been with our label about 20 years now, is Johnny Darko. The guy is an incredibly talented photographer. The colors in his stuff really pop. He can compose a shot, and yet he does some of the nastiest, filthiest porn on the planet. Does a lot of like really crazy POV blowjob movies, big tit movies, interracial movies, double penetration movies. He's an enormously skilled photographer. He has a background in fashion photography, and he kind of built his name there. But he is just a terrific. I mean, I guess you would. I mean, if there's like a, you know, like Russ Meyer was the top guy in sexploitation. He was, you know, light years ahead of his competitors. And that's kind of what Johnny's like. Johnny's just a really accomplished auteur. If you could really kind of bend the definition to fit a modern day pornographer, Johnny's a real auteur. He's a really talented photographer and a filthy, perverted pornographer. And as Stagliano has called him, a really kinky guy.
Steve Catani from the website evilangel.com is my guest today. So, Steve, earlier you had mentioned your duties and what you do over there at evilangel.com, and I wanted to ask you, I see a title here on the website, Skinny But Not Teeny 2. Was that something that you came up with? Because I can't help but feel that in being around it so much, I'd imagine fun titles like that must pop into your head throughout the day all the time, you know, whether you're driving, you're showering, or what have you. Does this happen?
It's happened, but very rarely. One of the editors that works with us in the office every day, he's really good at coming up with stuff, but we don't often pitch to the big shots here to make that decision to pass on the directors. It has happened. Directors have used some of our titles, but we usually just kind of do it within the office to amuse one another. We used to do a series of, we still do a series of squirting videos. The other day, one of our editors came up with the title, How About the Big Soak, which would be given kind of like a film noir, just to amuse ourselves. It doesn't really make its way up the chain too often. It has. There's a couple of evil titles that have gone out, you know, as suggestions from the proles in the trenches. But part of that is the business model. John's given the directors a lot of autonomy to cast the movie the way they want, to not really impede their progress, as long as they're kind of hitting those Evil Angel bullet points. And quite honestly, I think that every time I think I have a good one, every now and then something comes down the pike that they come up with, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's actually quite a bit better than what I was thinking. So I leave it to the pros.
Now, this is interesting. I read, Steve, that Dark Force Entertainment is releasing a documentary that you made back in 2012, and the people at home know Dark Force because, of course, that comes from the demon, David DeFalco himself, who we had on the program as well. Now, before I ask you about the documentary, just talk a little bit about how you even got linked up with David DeFalco in the first place. I mean, how long have you known him?
Yeah, I first met Dave probably 17 or 18 years ago. A screenwriter friend of mine was doing things with him. It was at the time when Dave was still directing and producing some of his movies. I don't think anything came to fruition, but I got to meet Dave. Friendly guy, nice guy, funny guy, outrageous guy. But I didn't really have too much contact with him for many years after that. But I would hear about him from time to time. But in recent years, we kind of got into each other's orbit because we have so many friends in common. And in particular, a gentleman named Bill Olson, who passed away a couple of years ago. We had actually a very close mutual friend in Bill Olson, who ran another label called Code Red DVD. Bill was kind of a polarizing figure within the industry, but once you got to know him, he was actually a very lovable, really funny, crazy guy. And he and Dave were doing a lot of things together. Their labels were working in conjunction with one another. And just from regular contact every day with Bill, you get to know Dave. And Dave and I, you know, we all speak kind of the same language.
So since you know him, I got to ask, have you ever seen any of David DeFalco's films, you know, like Chaos or Heavy Metal Massacre? And what did you think about them?
I've seen clips from everything, but I've never seen any of his features. Oh, I've seen Chaos. I take that back. Okay. I've seen Chaos, but that's the only one, the ones that have come out. And I don't think Heavy Metal Massacre is easily found. I'm not sure what the release availability is of that. But yes, I've certainly seen Chaos. I've talked to Dave about it. And yes, I remember that film quite well.
Last question here about the demon, and we can move on. So since you know David and you've spent time around him, have you ever talked about his movies with him and just his career in general? I'd imagine it has to come up at some times, right?
We really haven't talked about it. I mean, he'll, you know, during the course of our discussions, it, you know, there'll be a reference to something he produced or something made. I'm usually aware of it, but the actual meat and potatoes of the production and the films themselves, it's usually other stuff. It's more about what's happening right now with his label. And in recent years, it's been mostly things directly related to Bill.
Okay, so tell me about this documentary. It says here it was made in 2012, so it's 12 years old by my count. Is this the first time it's ever been released?
Yes, it's only had one public screening at, of all places, a very prestigious venue, the George Lucas Theater on the USC campus about 7 or 8 years ago.
Wow.
through a friend connection. The history of the documentary is actually kind of quirkily related to Evil Angel. It was made by, I produced it, but the guy that really was the driving force between coming up with the concept and executing the movie was a guy that worked here at Evil Angel. He was a part-time stand-up comedian, and his name is Tracy Tufts, and he proposed the idea of following this actor around because he was such an engaging and controversial person and such a fascinating person. He came up with the idea of following him around and interviewing people in his world. And I thought he was insane for thinking of it, but he was serious. And we actually, the subject of the documentary, agreed to participate. And we spent 3 years interviewing half of old Hollywood and going on these little weird, wild adventures with this guy. And we wound up piecing together, scotch taping together a documentary, a very strange documentary about a very strange man. And it was, there was a lot of Evil Angel people kind of involved, and usually on the technical side, but it was mostly this guy, Tracy Tufts, my friend and partner in the film, that really got it to the finish line. Unfortunately, it seemed like once we started to lose a little bit of momentum, we lost a lot of momentum. And we were able to get that screening together, but nothing really happened after that. It's been kind of languishing in obscurity all these years. Meanwhile, half of the people we've interviewed have passed away. Mm-hmm. But I knew DeFalco had seen it, and he had every now and then he would drop in and say that he would want to put it out. And now we've finally gotten enough traction with Dave to we're at an agreement now, and David really likes the documentary. It makes sense for his label to put it out, so we're just absolutely thrilled it's going to happen.
Steve, what do you feel that after 12 years, Dark Forest Entertainment is the right fit in terms of releasing the film? I mean, is it even the first time you've attempted to get it released even?
It's been a long time. It was somewhat mystifying, and as the producer, I was under the slings and arrows of a lot of people that felt it was strong enough to go to festivals with. You know, things drift, and 1 month becomes 6 months, and 6 months becomes 3 or 4 years, and there's anger and frustration, but, you know, the demands of everyday life, there's plenty to overtake something like that. And there was disappointment and, you know, maybe some mild, hard feelings, but, you know, evidently it just kind of drifted into obscurity. I think, I don't want to speak for Tracy, but I think it has a lot to, my guess would be that it's such an obscure subject. The subject is such a bizarre person. I think he felt like it was just going to be too esoteric of a subject matter, which we know is not the case anymore with documentaries. But at the time, it just fell into obscurity and just kind of stayed there. and I don't think Tracy wanted to devote any more resources to it. And I don't know, I was onto other things, and it just kind of drifted where it was at. But it really is serendipitous to come out on Dark Forces label, because Dave really gets it. I think his audience will get it. A lot of the directors in that we talked to, they maybe not had movies directly released by Dark Force, but labels similar to Dark Force. And in the case of Dark Force, maybe they have released some of their movies on Dave's imprint. So, this is a really wonderful outcome, I think.
So now that it is being released, do you have any plans on possibly having more screenings of the film, Steve?
No, that's certainly possible. I think that will be more up to Dave. Right now, he's putting together the poster, and there's a lot of extra footage of a lot of these directors and personalities that could be used to, you know, right now we're looking at the disc. We're trying to decide what the disc is going to be like. You know, Dave's going to be the owner of all this material, so he's going to be the shot caller. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for there to be more screenings. I really don't. In fact, I'm sure there will be, but there's nothing I know about right now that's concrete.
One last thing here about the documentary, and we'll move on. I think it's fair to say this documentary was one of the first projects you worked on. And I'm just curious for you, Steve, what were some of the most challenging parts along the way that maybe you didn't consider beforehand?
Well, I had a fairly easy job. I was the booker. I was helping book most of the interviews. I was conducting most of the interviews, a little bit of the financing, but the overwhelming amount of the financing and logistical stuff was the producer director, Tracy. And then we had some ancillary help from a couple of other guys that helped us with the film that were big contributors. The biggest challenge was the subject itself. The actor that we were following around, his name is Douglas Dunning. And he's kind of notorious in LA for like the last 30 or 35 years, because he's a very aggressive kind of personality. He's banned from a lot of places throughout town. He's got a history going back to New York, where I think similar things occurred. He's been in LA now quite a long time. Doug does have things that are interesting. He has a lot of things about him that are interesting. He can be a very difficult person to deal with, but that was part of the reason why we felt tackling such an engaging, fascinating subject.
Now, I heard Douglas has a fake British accent. Is this true?
Yeah, it's pretty much a persona that was born like in the late 1970s, early 1980s. He had a very short career in professional wrestling, where he was known as Sir Miles Headlock, with the first incarnation of the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, the first incarnation of GLOW. He was kind of a ringside announcer with that moniker, and he was modeled on the Max Headroom craze, whatever the fuck that was, back in the 1980s. And that's when that was popular. And, you know, he was always, his avatar has always been Christopher Lee. He has met Christopher Lee. He knew Christopher Lee a little bit. And I think he just kind of affected Christopher Lee he's kind of a thrift shop version of Christopher Lee. He's very tall. He's got a commanding presence. He's got this deep, sonorous voice. He does have like the raw materials of what could have been a successful character actor, but because of some psychological issues, that really hasn't kind of come to fruition. But yeah, his whole persona is make-believe. It's like he's developed this character, and he has a broken, either he's the greatest method actor of all time, or he's just a genuine British citizen. But I don't think so. I think he's actually just a great method actor.
Steve Catani is my guest from the website evilangel.com. Steve, I hate to put you on the spot here, and I should have mentioned this before we got started, but I did want to ask you about what's his deal anyway?
Very little. I've only met him once, and I know about him. Again, it seems like Bill Olson is kind of the 6 degrees of separation with certain individuals. Bill Olson would tell me stories about, his real name is Randy, and he has I think it's kind of a juvenile nickname of Shitman. I would think they could come up with something a little bit better than that, but that's what we're dealing with here, a bunch of guys. And so they would constantly tell me about him. And so he was an actor. He was in a couple of movies in the early 1970s, mid-1970s. One of them was a Roger Corman film called The Young Nurses, I think, or The Private Duty Nurses, one of those. The Young Nurses. And he had kind of a bargain basement, kind of beach boy kind of a character in that. And then I think he's in a horror movie that he did in Europe, and that's about it. And somehow he's kind of drifted into the world of Dark Force. He knows DeFalco somehow. He's just kind of like a hanger-on, I suppose, in that scene. But as I said, I don't really have too much to say about him. He was nice enough when I met him. But yeah, evidently he has some problems controlling his bowels, and I believe that's related to his drinking. There's also a famous story that Bill Olson tells. It could be apocryphal, but I tend to believe it because it makes me laugh. And Bill Olson would like to tell this story loudly in restaurants. And it was about how a time years ago, I'm just going to kind of try to piece together the story as I believe it went down. He was sharing an apartment with someone and the bathroom wasn't available because his roommate was in the bathroom. So Randy used a pot to defecate in, like a pot you would, boil spaghetti in.
Right.
And, what any of us would do given that situation. So because the bathroom wasn't available, the toilet was clogged, someone else was in there, whatever the reason was, he voided himself in this pot and then he cleaned it. But according to Bill Olson, the pot wasn't cleaned very well. It was quote, rinsed briefly. And later that day, the following day, whatever it was discovered that it had been used later that night to boil spaghetti in. And it was served. This meal was served to, I don't know if it was if the group composed of family or friends or what, but there were a number of people that were served pasta. It's like something out of Pasolini, right? It's like something out of Salo.
Yeah.
The pasta was boiled. Now, according to Bill Olson, I don't know if I believe this, there was little corns in the spaghetti sauce.
You know, any more these days with the advent of virtual reality and 4K resolution and what have you, I wanted to ask you, Steve, in your mind, what does the future of the pornography industry look like? If you had to estimate or guess, do you have any ideas on what the possibility of the industry can or will look like in even, say, the next 20 to 25 years? I mean, is there anything else besides AI?
Being in the industry gives me personally no advantage whatsoever. It really doesn't. I mean, I could probably, I think half the guys on the street could probably come up with this. And that's, I would have to think that AI is going to get to the point, perhaps sooner than later, perhaps later than sooner, where you'll be able to replicate a sexual intercourse with a person or persons to your exact specifications. Of course, that'll be probably walled off by your personal disposition in terms of wealth and what have you, but perhaps the proletariats will have access to it sooner. Who knows? And I'm sure there'll be bootleg versions of that software. But I would imagine eventually the ability to say a guy like me having sex with a Bella Danger, that'll be a reality, a virtual Bella Danger, mm-hmm. or a virtual Angela White, or a members only Dave having sex with one of these, girl of your choice. It could be made reality. I would think AI is going to eventually supplant how we consume traditional forms of pornographic adult entertainment. Although I think certain people in society will have a preference or because of their own situation, they might be limited into how they can interact with these AI models.
So is there anything else going on over there at the website evilangel.com that you'd like to mention or discuss before we get you out of here, Steve?
Well, there are other things. There is something rather exciting that's percolating on the horizon, but I can't really talk about that just yet. But yeah, there always is. And, I said it last time, it bears repeating. John Stagliano is really committed to keeping this company as strong as possible. John could have walked away a long time ago with a whole lot of money and left the headaches at the door of running a company. But he really cares about the brand. He cares about his employees. He cares about the company. He's talking about AI with people. He and I paddle back and forth ideas. I come up with ideas. He shoots down, but they probably should be shot down. Mm-hmm. He really is a strong guiding force and the last mogul in this business. It's really, I'm lucky to be working for him.
Steve Catani from evilangel.com has been my guest today on Massacre Radio. Hey, Steve, thanks again for your time, and we'll have to do it again sometime. How about that?
Absolutely my pleasure, Dave, and I'll go for the hat trick and do it a third time if you want.
Massacre.
Hey, thanks again to my guest today, Steve Catani from the website evilangel.com. Definitely go check out the website. Like I said, I think I'm going to be checking out that video. What was it? I had it written down here. Oh yeah, Wet Food 10. It looks insane. That was just the kind of stuff I was into and I watched when I was 13, 14 years old. So it'll be nice to take a trip down memory lane, Anyway, that's going to do it for this installment of Massacre Radio. I, of course, have been your host, Members Only Dave, and as always, I'll talk at you next week.
Well, that was pretty good. Yeah, but I thought it was based on a true story.